Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Sports Podcast Network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Brother Bry, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I didn't mention Harry, and I want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day, post-Memorial Day. Hope you had a good time spending the three-day holiday weekend with friends and family here in the good old USA. Or maybe you are like Harry, who's going to join us from Amsterdam, I think, tomorrow. He is there with his wife, who he refers to as lover, who is, I think, sidelined. Last I heard, she was sidelined with blisters, and they're in a hotel room in Amsterdam watching Murder, She Wrote marathon. Sounds like a great time, right?
That's what you heard? That's what you heard?
What did you hear?
Last I heard, she took something and was walking the red light district and was vomiting everywhere. That was the last thing I heard.
Oh, good. Parley Kid, what did you hear? Maybe we all heard different things. I'm not sure.
No, I've refused to communicate with Harry over the last few days.
Is that right?
Why? I'm just...
Look, Joel is the other way. Joel is on top of his every scheduling. Any little tidbit, Joel? So what are we? Is Harry watching Murder, She Wrote to try to get ideas?
No, come on. This is also, if you've seen pictures, I don't think those are blisters. I got to be honest. But no,
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
I think he's going to give. It's fitting there in the red light district because I think Angie's getting the red light. I think it's. This is
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Harry's found his match in people that I guess can't walk and keep up. And there's been some feet issues.
All right. Well, listen, we'll straighten it all out. Again, he might grace us with his presence tomorrow, but who the hell knows? Anyway, we got a lot of basketball to talk. It's over, guys.
Oof.
The Heat beat the Celtics 103-84. The Parlay Kid had the Heat in six. I had the Celtics in seven. Somehow neither of us won. But we all win, Parlay Kid, because the city of Boston loses. The fans would have been extra insufferable. And we'll take it. 103-84. And now we have a Denver-Miami final, but a fun game seven, at least for non-Celtics fans, I thought.
Yeah, I guess that had to be pretty excruciating for Celtics fans to come all the way back like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then lose game seven. They got thoroughly dominated yesterday in that game too. They really never gave their fans too much to cheer about. There were a couple times the fans got into it when the league got cut to like four or five, but the Heat did what they had to do. Congratulations to them. I thought they had a lot of pressure on them. Being that we were anointing Spoelstra as one of the great coaches of all time and Butler is a big time performer. They needed it to cement their legacies at least a little bit. So good for them. I won some money, had the Heat plus 430 to win the series.
Yeah.
Probably one of the few people that had the Heat in this industry. I liked the Heat from the start and I never wavered. I never said, I'm going to jump on the Celtics. I never did that. I rode with the Heat. Yes, I'll talk about it in the betting too, though.
Yeah, I don't know if she counts as in the industry, but it was the last thing Harry's wife uttered before she vomited in the red light district. the Heat were gonna take it in seven. Brian, it was very exciting. I want to compare it historically to a couple of things. Right in Boston's backyard. I think it was like the reverse. I said this on Extra Points this morning. It was the reverse Mookie Wilson, right? Because they won game six in spectacular. Like, imagine if the Mets had lost game seven.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this would be like. And before your time, Carlton Fisk hit a home run that ended up being inconsequential. He's waving it fair, right? Remember that Parlay Kid? They lose World Series. I think that's what we're going to think about when we remember, Derek White and the game six heroics. But either way, good guys won.
Yeah. Well, have you ever, this has been my problem with I've been complaining about the Celtics since they
since their first series, right? And it's just, they're a hard team to watch, but I've been rooting against them almost even though I've been betting them for the most part. Luckily, I stayed away yesterday, but even yesterday, right? So you maybe lost a lot of money, but didn't.
Yeah, I bought the loss. I took Celtics money line. I had the Heat to win the series.
But you didn't even care.
Too,
I mean, when was the last time you did something like that? Like you were like outwardly celebrating this Heat win, which we all were, but you did take a hit on it. So it is funny. Like, when was the last time you actually did something like that? You were totally fine with losing.
I do it with the Patriots all the time.
I guess the Patriots. And, Patriots
exactly,
Super Bowl.
It's exactly the same situation. So. But but also we were texting like through like a quarter into the game. I was like, oh man, let me root. Maybe I should root for the Celtics bet because Denver is not going to win. Denver's not losing to this team. If they played the Celtics, I know the odds would have been about even, and now they're minus 380. It's insane against the Heat, but Denver would have no problem slapping this Celtics team around with all their flaws and how they don't have any plays and live and die by the three. And Barley Kid, 9 for 42, that's hero ball. And didn't work, right? That's the bottom line. Didn't really matter what Miami presented.
I did say something in a text the other night, and I was wondering why they haven't gone to this more to the zone. They did it late in game six, Miami. They went back to that zone that was killing the Knicks in that series. So they've kind of been on and off with it, but we didn't see a lot of it in game six until the last 3 minutes of the game. And they came out with it yesterday, basically saying, look, you're going to have to beat, we're going to clog the lanes. We're going to make it very difficult for you. You're going to have to beat us with the three ball, and the Celtics couldn't deal with it. So, they did. That's, but like I said, you've said it more than anybody, that too many of these teams, it just comes down to whether they make their threes or not. That's really, it's almost every single game. It's really what it comes down to, right? Game six was a little different, right? Because
game six was threes, weird right? Because, you know, people were saying, well, look, the disparity in the threes is such that they could come back, the Celtics, right? They could just get hot from three. I think that was the worst shooting percentage performance they had all year in game six. And they won that game.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that 9 for 42 didn't help. Yet Tatum twisted his ankle. I don't want to hear that made the difference. I really don't. I don't think they would have made up 19 points. I get it. Couldn't get back on defense a lot of these games, but he played, right? If he didn't play, it's one thing, probably.
Enough. He played 43 minutes. We heard that the whole game yesterday. Enough. He was playing. Everybody's banged up right now. Everybody's
he had double-digit rebounds.
Up.
Yeah.
Right.
So he counts. You. They couldn't shoot. This is the problem, right? Every time Horford shot, you just turned around and laughed. It wasn't going to happen. White was 2 for 9 from three. Brown was 1 for 9, not even counting his 8 turnovers. Bri, when do you see 8 turnovers from a superstar like that?
It's infrequent. It's not as frequent in these games. But yeah, I mean, we've been joking about Brown for a while in terms of like, for somebody who's such a good player, right? I mean, he's a great athlete, great defender. He can shoot the ball when he has to, but somebody who at this level who can just not dribble the ball. It's weird. It's weird to watch at times. It really is. I mean,
and they have to bring them back, right? Partly kid Brown and Tatum are must signs, right? And the coach, I think, is gone. He's not a must sign, but I think they keep Tatum and Brown together, right?
Yeah. Although I do think there's some chemistry missing between those two guys. Like, you know, you see Brown disappear for long stretches in these games where he's just, he starts off like he's a big factor and then disappears. And I know that because I bet him to go over sometimes on points and literally will get one shot the whole second half. There might be something
he took
missing
his shots.
There.
Yeah, he definitely took his shots yesterday.
There's no doubt. But I do think there's a chemistry thing there. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Tatum's their franchise. He's their franchise player. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe look to move on from Brown or make a deal involving Brown. That wouldn't shock me if the Celtics did that.
How old are these guys? Are they both 26? Is that right?
Brown is 26 for sure. Tatum might be a little
Tatum's
younger.
Tatum's 25. Tatum's going to be 25. I guess he's 25. Yeah. So anyway, all right. No, listen, it's more fun to talk about the losers, but we have to give Jimmy Butler, 28 points, Eastern Conference Final MVP. Give him credit. Got to give Caleb Martin credit, 26 points. He was phenomenal, 11 for 16. And more than that, he like kind of put the dagger in the crowd. He took him out of it. He really did.
All like, the time.
As bad as that third quarter was, it was a stretch where nobody was scoring, but the Celtics were still down like 6 or 7. And Jimmy Butler, I kept saying like, oh, come on, just make a couple of these shots. You got this, right? You'll be a, he wasn't making them. Caleb Martin hit the three to get it from 7 to 10. Caleb Martin hit like the turnaround jumper to keep it at 10. He was the one, he was the main man. He should won MVP. Reggie Miller ought to be ashamed of himself. I think he thinks like no one's going to see his ballot. Like the whole game 6 and 7, he's like, oh, if the Heat win, Caleb Martin is the MVP of this. And then he votes for Jimmy Butler. I don't care too much, but why are these guys saying that they're going to vote one way and then vote the other? What more do you need to see out of Caleb Martin, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, Reggie Miller is sometimes interesting to listen to during the games.
Sometimes. Yeah.
You know, like when Miller, like there's a charge or something. And it's like he calls it after it happens, but like he knew it like beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting. But yeah, Martin definitely deserved it in terms of like, you know, this goes back to years ago, right? In the finals when we all lost money, when Iguodala won the MVP, right? In terms of just like who outperformed what they were supposed to do, right? And the main reason they won was because Martin was just so much better than what he's was in the regular season, right? You watch him play, you watch him play in these games and you're like, when you watch him, he's such a good athlete too. And he never seemed to miss. And you're like, this guy looks like a top 25, 30 player in the NBA, the way he played some of these games. And
just the confidence. Yep.
Right. Just the confidence. And every time they needed a shot, especially yesterday, he made it every time. And to your point, it wasn't just three pointers, right? It's whether it's driving the basket for a layup or if it's like, a fadeaway, right?
When he drove past the basket in a turnaround jumper, like that was a dagger. I thought, I don't know. I mean, it was still a chance they were going to come back. I'm looking at his games as far as MVP. So what did he have? He had 26, he had 21. So in the last two games, he was, what do I want to say? I don't remember him missing, but it was 18 for 29. Yeah. He was 8 for 14 from three, had a 25 point game in there. Game two, 18. So he only had one game where he was like 5 for 12, and that's right. All-star.
I mean, I will say we look at this, right? We look, when we say he deserves MVP, right? We look at this as gamblers, right? We know, right? Every game, all seven games, he went over his point total, right? So,
that should be it. That's what they should look at.
He outperformed it. And again, I will give Butler credit yesterday because he just was assertive right from the get-go, whereas in these other games recently, it's weird. It was weird with Butler the last couple of games. Yeah. But, you know, when they won the big games, he had big games. So you can't say, I mean, you could kind of scrap the losses, I guess. You could say it really just matters the four games they won. So,
bro, you're a fan of Caleb Martin anyway. That was one of your biggest wins ever, right?
I remember I had a terrible NCAA. I think the first round I had a terrible, and I put a ton of money on Nevada to upset Cincinnati. It was a 2 versus 7. I think I was plus 270, and they're down. I had a lot of money on that game, and they were down 22. With 15 minutes left, and the Martin brothers came back. So they've had a Saturday night game.
Yeah, I remember that.
They've had a special place in my heart. Yeah, I remember Darren and I came back from the NCAA wrestling tournament, and it was a bad weekend for me just gambling. So that helped me out a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Butler wouldn't touch the Eastern Conference trophy, which, by the way, it delights me to no end that these trophies, the player MVP award is the koozie, and then the Eastern Conference team award is the Larry Bird. So more Celtics fan drama right there. Really, really bad. But Butler wouldn't touch it. He said he'll touch the next one. Parley kid. I don't know if I don't think there's going to be a next one. I think he has to be a lot better than he was, especially his last few games.
Yeah. I mean, guy logs a lot of minutes. He plays super hard all the time. At least in the playoffs here, he has. So I think he's probably getting a little fatigued, and now they're going to have obviously a much shorter turnaround time. But I think he's got it in him. I mean, if there's one player that has it in him to, get the job done, it's probably Butler. But look, here's the one thing about Butler. He is not a dynamic offensive performer, right? Like,
sure.
I know he scores his points, but he does it in a different way. Cause he's not a great shooter. Like a lot, he doesn't shoot a lot of threes.
Doesn't shoot a lot of threes. Nope.
You know, he just doesn't, he doesn't have a great shot, but he finds a way to get his points. He's just not as dynamic as some of these new age scorers that we see now. But I got to respect the guy because, you know, he's on one mission, and I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about who we think is going to win. So I won't even talk about it right now, but I don't count the Heat out just yet in this series.
We'll
don't
give our picks out tomorrow. Oh, I know. That's what you're going to do, Parlay Kid. You're taking the Heat. All right. We won't get into it just yet. Denver is minus 380 plus 300. I couldn't believe this. This was just sent to us. They're the second biggest favorite in the last 16 years. The 2018 Warriors were minus 1075 versus the Cavs. Is that right, Bri?
Wow.
Well, that's LeBron's team.
That Durant year, though, that was the...
Who cares?
That was the playoffs, though, where they were just obliterating everybody, right? Yes. They only lost maybe one game going into that finals.
All right.
They were killing
everyone. Make Denver minus 1,000. They haven't lost too much either. Certainly don't lose ever at home.
I'm so mad, though, because I actually like the Nuggets... As it turns out, I think I like the Nuggets more against the Celtics than I did against the Heat. So I don't know why I didn't jump on the Nuggets when that went to like minus 170 the other day.
So crazy how it flip-flopped. Like I gave it out at minus 170. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. But when they were up like 3-0 against Lakers, maybe it was 2-0. I don't know. I was like, just get it now. And it went down to almost even when the Celtics, when it was 3-3.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot now. But then it ballooned to 380. Crazy. Some Caesars, it's 380. Other places I saw 480. So they're a huge favorite. We could talk real quick about MVP. Jokic now minus 325. Our buddy Alec got it into plus 475. That was nice. That was like a month ago or maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Caleb Martin. What do you think Caleb Martin is?
He's probably like 30-1. I don't know. Am I throwing it out?
Parlay Kid. Off. Parlay Kid nailed it. 30-1.
Ooh. That's good. I mean, it's good value if you like it's great value. If you think the Heat
Are 3-1. Caleb Martin's 30-1. You might say, all right, the guy did all he could and he couldn't win in the Eastern Conference. They just gave it to Butler and they'll do the same. But probably 30-1 for Caleb Martin. That's what jumped out at me.
Yeah,
that's anyway,
interesting. What were Butler's? Is it just Butler, plus 350?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Put 350 right in there.
Yeah.
What is Tyler Hero, Sal?
Oh, interesting. This is why Caleb Martin's getting a lot of numbers, right? Line,
and that's why I don't sleep on the Heat.
Didn't they say he's not coming back till game three?
Yeah.
Really?
It looked like he was ready, but
I thought he was. Okay.
Let me just see. What is this called? Conn Smythe? No. NBA Finals MVP. Butler plus 340. Jamal Murray 8-1. Martin 30-1. Bam 40-1. You can forget that. I mean, who can make a freaking shot early on?
Yeah, he was bad.
You know, I don't even see Parlay Kid. They don't even have him up
all
there.
All right. Well, that must mean you guys are probably right. I guess we're not going to see him till
Strus 500, Kevin Love 500, Duncan Robinson, your favorite Bri 500. Very confident Duncan Robinson getting in there.
Wow. Yeah. He was totally, man. So
he blew game six. He could have made either of those open shots down the stretch and then just like saluting in game seven after
I won't hate on him too much because I know that's Tate's boy.
And yes, that's Tate's guy. Yeah.
But yeah, a little. You know, the thing I respect about the Heat is they are not, again, and it all goes back to Butler, is they are not a cocky team, right? They're confident, not cocky, right. But Duncan Robinson at times can be a little too cocky for a guy that was benched like 40 different times this year. So
that's true.
You know,
that's true. It didn't matter, Parlay Kid, because they went 9-42, the Celtics. But again, they give Scott Foster a Heat game, and the Heat before yesterday were 2-13. In the last 15 in games ref by Scott Foster. And so one of two things is happening. The NBA needed the Celtics to get to the the finals. And if it was going to be close, they didn't care if they got a push from Scott Foster, a guy who, you know, he can't win with, or I don't know, or he's that much better than everybody that he has to do this game. I mean, isn't there a more technically sound crew or as technically sound that doesn't have the overwhelming odds against the Heat? It just looked weird to me, and it didn't matter again, 9 for 42, but I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, well, what was the whole stat, though, you gave out yesterday, Sal? Like, it wasn't just, it with was games combined. Officiated.
Someone said that was bogus. It was from Butt Crack Sports or something, and that I should have looked that up. But I don't think it was good for the, I have to do better. But I know,
well, you
I know
see, but at the 13. Same time, yeah. Get the NBA say, see, guys, it's not fixed. He did the game. The Heat won. Yeah. See, we told you so. Don't look at those things. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they got lucky that the Celtics, and they played the percentages, right? One of the teams was going to be bad shooting. Nine, by the way, the under, Brian, 65% in game sevens? Because one team is always going to be tight.
It's funny because that was going to be my play. And then it's like, yeah, you stare at that number and you're like 203.
It went down like 14 points in three games since game four.
I mean, it always makes sense in the game sevens to go under in any sport, but like, especially the NBA, but 203 was just, I mean, for today's game to go 203 is really low.
I loved Twitter last night. I know we talk about the politics and everything. I'm like, oh, I could do without this. It's a cesspool, but it was a lot of fun. It was informative. I thought all the memes involving our friend Bill Simmons, who was unfortunately caught on camera, just completely depressed. Looked like he wanted to jump, and it not fun for Celtics fans, but it was very like a lot, very informative. We're on that text chain, like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh, wow. Didn't even know Denver is now facing three, you know, something you would have found out anyway, but three teams that, came out of the play-in series. Interesting. Good job by them, but just all the, I mean, how many succession memes, Bri? 1,000?
Oh, it was a lot. There was a lot of Kendall ones, Sue, for sure. Yeah. A lot of Kendall, Bill Simmons. Yeah, Simmons.
Yeah, which isn't a fair comparison because Bill has more money than Kendall. So they should never really be compared. But
that had to be the most Bill's face, right? Was like all over the internet on a picture.
Right? It was trending.
Him and the Ellen DeGeneres picture where they look alike.
I want to get that going. Yeah, I want to get that going for sure. All right, we'll have picks. Denver 8.5, which is slightly higher than the Boston home games against the Heat, right? But I think that's about the same as what Milwaukee was giving Miami. I can't believe this Miami team is here. Unbelievable. It's so crazy. And like I said, it's minus 380. I mentioned this on Extra Points. Our friend Ross Tucker posed the question, Parlay Kid, if they did a consolation series, third, fourth, on opposite days of the finals, you know, days in between, the Celtics Lakers get better ratings?
I don't see how that would be possible, right? No. That couldn't work.
Everybody would have to play and they wouldn't.
If you'd have to have some type of crazy incentive for that series to happen. Like, I don't know what the incentive would be, but it'd have to be crazy because these guys wouldn't.
It would have play. To be wouldn't care. Some crazy bonus for top three teams, right? And like 1, 2, 3, but the third team gets like a ton of money. Like they could do that as part of some like future thing, but
could just make it a Taco Tuesday deal. You know, LeBron loves that so much. He would play.
Yeah. No, what could you do? Yeah. Best 2 out of 3 right there. Winner can replace Miami. If the series is down, if they're down 3-0, how does that sound?
I see. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Like you could come in, they could step in and replace them or something.
I like that. I know it doesn't, it's not feasible. Like, it's basically a Pro Bowl and they would have to give these guys are already on vacation, but I'm looking at the schedule and I know this only bothers me. So Sunday, June 11th, Bri, no games, no hockey, no NBA. Come on.
What are they doing?
Tuesday, June 6th,
Is that the only day, Sal, when it's going?
No, they try to. So, all right. So Thursday, there's an NBA game. There's nothing this Friday.
Right. They go Thursday to Sunday.
Hockey starts Saturday. And then there's nothing Tuesday the 6th, so we won't be doing race to 10 until Wednesday. And then there's nothing, like I said, the 11th Sunday, and there's nothing the Wednesday the 14th. Whatever, we're running out of sports. I get it. It's all about French Open at this point, but what are you going to do? But there is a lot to gamble on, and I hope you do it at Caesars. We're going to give them love in 1 second. We'll be right back. Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and older only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wagers only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet is $1,250. The bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, it's 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE, New York, or text HOPENY.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
Let me start off. I'm in Arizona this past weekend with the family. Fun times. And I love in Arizona because you can bet legally. Not that I don't bet legally, God forbid. Erase that from the record, Mikey Meatballs. But no, when you land, you get on the apps, you get on the Caesars app. And I'm, like I said, I'm like four parlays in before I'm even at the baggage retrieval area. So I love it. I love it. What I don't love is I go to Topgolf right there in Scottsdale, right? And the Yankees had just given up a run to the Padres. I think the Padres took the lead in the seventh. I'm like, I'm going to live bet the Yankees. I'm like, oh boy. That's a plus number. They're not done scoring here. I like this. So I go to put a lot of money on the Yankees. Money line right there, live game. And I get this message saying, you are in a restricted area. Federal government laws suggest that you cannot bet. I'm like, and I look up and I'm at the Topgolf and I see an Indian casino about 500 yards away. I'm like, that's it. I can't do it because there's a casino and there's tribal rules and stuff like that. And I'm like, I can't do it. So I text Harry and he immediately texts me back and he's like, yep, from the freeway, you could do it when you pass by. If you hop in the car and go on Indian Bend Pass Freeway for a block, it will let you. And I completely trust him at that point. Like, well, now I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? We're at Topgolf. I'm going to leave the family. The wife's going to hate me. I don't even know what I'm going to drive to an exit. I'm not even sure of here. And the bet's going to lose, Bri, right? There's no way the bet wins after all that. Well, I don't do it. And of course, the Yankees win in 10 innings. And then, so then I go to the casino afterwards. Bri, if we went there, one of us would have to stand up. There are three seats in the whole sports book. I'm like, this is thousands of people are getting shut out because of this, what they're calling a sports book. So where there's barely enough room that you couldn't even play musical chairs there. There's three seats. So anyway, that's my bad bet. Wow. That's my bet ache right there. Pauly kid, game six. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I capitalized on the Heat, having them in the series at plus 430, but I also had them in to win in six games. So as we were talking about earlier in the series, you know, I was kind of rooting for a game six. And to be honest with you, I really had given up on game six for the, like probably most people did. In my mind, I thought I can't get this game. But to see the Heat mount that comeback within the last couple minutes of that game, the foul on Butler by Horford, committed by Horford, obvious foul, which, by the way, terrible play by Horford right there, too, just hacking down on his arms when Butler just wildly was going to put up a corner
Butler
shot.
Butler lost his dribble. He lost his dribble, couldn't dribble once he regained it, right?
Yeah, no, he had to, and the time was running out. He had to force a shot up. Great play by Butler, though, to kind of draw that foul. These guys are so smart and their ability to do that.
Yep.
Goes to the line, calmly hits three. And I'm thinking to myself, this is now the ideal situation for me. This is, I cannot believe, not only am I going to hit my series bet, I'm actually going to hit this plus 800 you know, bet on the Heat to win in six games. I cannot believe it. And then, Sal, we all know the rest of the story there. I have to say, first, I didn't really like the defense that Miami used. They basically were like, we're not going to let Tatum beat us here.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to. Now, I know it's the pass did not come back to White. I know he got an offensive rebound. But you have to guard, to me, the inbounder on that play, because technically what easily could have happened is the ball could have went into Smart and back to White. He was wide open the whole time because they were so intent on just not letting Tatum beat them. My thing is, you had Butler on Tatum. He's one of the best defenders in the league. Tatum, at best, was going to have to take about a 30-foot closely contested shot with no time left. Instead, to Smart's credit, I don't even know how he hit the rim on that shot. It was
crazy
a catch.
Shot.
Guy in his face. Soft rebound. Great play. Great hustle play by White. And I lost fairly and squarely. But I really thought at that time. I thought with 3 seconds left. And I know in the NBA with the ball advancement, it's never over at that point. But I felt like it was over. The Heat, I thought, were winning that game. I thought it was over. I convinced myself. I cannot believe I just hit both of my huge Heat bets. I'm going to win a lot of money. Instead, I settled for the consolation prize of the Heat winning the series. But to me, my mental state at that point, I was really sad. I was very sad. Thank goodness the Heat won last night. Thank goodness the Heat won last night, because it would have been devastating for me to have lost turned out to be a decent sum of money.
Let me help you out here. You should have won that game because, and I talked about this on Extra Points, the foul did not occur with 3 seconds left. It occurred with 2.2 seconds or whatever. And I likened it to getting your car recalled. If they're going to go to the desk and figure out how much time is left, get that right. If I'm getting my car recalled and I have to lose a half a day at the dealership, like, all right, just get it right. I don't want to sit in traffic and hear rattling in the carburetor, you know, at that point. How do they not get that right? Well, hey, if they get it right, all that time is gone.
Ben Kelly, I should have mentioned that. Our pal Ben Kelly he was on that from the start. So look where this foul occurs. I know there's a couple people that know, look, it was at 3 seconds. I don't buy that. I don't know. That's where you have to say magically, 3 seconds was enough, right? It's
3 seconds was barely enough. 2.3, 2.6 would not have been enough, but get it right is my thing. Well, it's not block charge. It's when was the contact made? What does the clock say? Right. Brian?
So the one issue, so I was the first one, I think, like going all over that, but
yeah,
they do say like the TV time for whatever reason wasn't aligned with the clock on the, right. at the table.
Well,
I still think something like that was off though. I still think they gave the benefit of the doubt there to the Celtics, maybe even if it was 0.1, point two, just because it was weird with the way, it just depends when they called that foul. Cause either it's either a foul before he shoots it and there's more time on the clock or right. He couldn't also take the 3-pointer, right?
Yeah, well, they would have done things differently. Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, but you know what? At the end of the day, it actually worked out better. And I think you called it at the beginning of the series or something, saying this will be great if they come back and lose in the seventh game.
I guess so. But, Damashek was good. Damashek's like, let's play more games. There's nothing from July to mid-August. Well, let's get this to seven. I was like, well, why do I have to look at the calendar to determine who I want to root for here at this? I have the Heat. You know, I bet the Heat for the series. I bet them like when they were up against the Knicks. Like, I just let's get it over with. So if I would have known they were going to lose in seven, of course I would have rooted for that. But Bri, let's talk lacrosse. That's your bet. Go through it real quick because only Bill Simmons started liking lacrosse, so then you liked it. So go ahead. Let's go.
Well, real quick, I will say, I've always said like when there are lacrosse betting lines up there, there really is nothing like betting this weekend between the semifinals and the finals in that 3-day span. But I gave out as my best bet the other Sharp Tank. I gave out Duke to win the championship. Now I predicted Duke to beat Virginia in the championship, which I still think they might have won yesterday. But kudos to Notre Dame. They as it turned out, they probably overall were the best team. But I will say, I mean, there's only, I don't know how many people are betting lacrosse, but on Saturday, I had to have bet some of the most money on lacrosse that anyone has seen. Like if somebody's reviewing the sports book and like, oh, wow, look at how much this guy bet on this. I had a lot on Duke to win it. So that was the main thing I was pulling for, but I put a ton. I'm almost embarrassed to say how much money I put on. I put a ton on a Duke Virginia parlay, and Virginia, for as much as I thought Notre Dame was unlucky in the Virginia game, like for the majority of the game, but Virginia is up two goals with 3:30 left, about 3:30, 3:40 left. Mm-hmm. And Virginia had just gotten possession. So they had about 65 seconds on the shot clock. So they could have brought that clock down to less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds with a two goal lead at least.
Right.
Instead, the guy kind of has an easy path to the goalie, one-on-one with the goalie. Goalie makes a phenomenal save from like 3 inches away. They were right on top of each other, makes a crazy save. And Notre Dame comes back, right down scores. They win the faceoff. They score again. It goes to overtime and they score in sudden death. But the odds of that losing when you have possession there, because if the Virginia coach has to be killing himself, the fact that they did not just run the clock out, because then they pretty much win that game there at that point. Lost a ton of money.
That sounds bad.
I lost a lot of money on it. And then as it turns out, I lost even more in the championship game because Notre Dame was probably a bad matchup for Duke anyway. So then I lost that. So bad job. I made this.
All right.
But it was fun. It was exciting, I will say.
We had a lot of fun with our losing bets. Babyface, what do you think about these bet aches?
Man, it's just another sport. Bri can lacrosse off his list of sports he hates.
Oh, come on. There you go. All right, Mike Meatballs, play the music. Get us out of here.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right. NHL, the Knights crushed the Stars 6-0. My goodness. So we have Vegas, Florida. Just as everyone thought. It was a cool picture of a video of hundreds of people watching from the Circa pool. Yeah, that I don't know cool. if you saw that, Bri. That was cool. Yeah, that looks nice. Like people watching awesome. Hockey finals or semifinals with their shirts off and waiting in the pool. Vegas minus 130, Panthers plus 110, starts Saturday. We could give the official pick out on Thursday if we want. Mikey Meatball says the Panthers. What do you think? What do you think real quick? Early thoughts there, Parley Kid.
Well, look, I gave the Panthers out to start the season at 15-1, so I'll roll with the Panthers. I think there's some good value in some of the Conn Smythe odds right now. I guess we'll talk about that as well on Thursday. So I'll save it. But I like this series. I think this is a fun series. If you like hockey, you're just looking for good games. I think this is a great matchup of one team that's been getting it done all year and another team that has really come along and beaten some terrific teams during their playoff run here. So I think it's a very equal matchup. Very, very close.
Bro, they have, they have Conn Smythe. We'll go over that. Bobrovsky's favorite, Tkachuk, is plus 250. Bobrovsky 2-1. Eichel 375. I did see something interesting. Where is this now? Will there be a shutout? Now, I love the both teams score. I was rolling. I mean, it was a free bet on a parlay. It was nonsensical. It was minus 1200. But then like this last week, I think there were like three or four shutouts. The yes that there will be a shutout in one of the Stanley Cup games is plus 105. You like that? or the no is minus 125.
That's interesting. If a goal, if they get a shutout, then it favors very heavily to that goalie winning a Conn Smythe, right? Like Bobrovsky or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
But I'd say yes. It's bound one team's going to get a shutout.
All right. Aiden Hill's 12-1. Bobrovsky 2-1.
It's kind of fun. Right. It's one of the funner bets to root for, right? To put in an advance of the series, I think.
I think so. And it's basically even. Astros, Braves, Dodgers, all plus 550 to win the World Series. Mets were exciting, bad this weekend. Lost 11-10 and 10-7. They came back from down 6 and also blew a 6-2 lead. They're 500 heading into a homestand, starting with the Phillies and then the Blue Jays. Alonso hit his 20th. Judge, 16-17 yesterday. Wow. Yankees back-to-back 10-run outings. Those Bombers bats are alive, Parley Kid.
So just so hit and miss with those bats. You just can go two or three straight games without scoring and then start lighting it up. I don't, Sal, tell me how the Mets are even 500. I feel like they're 10 games under 500 the way people talk about them. And
they had a good stretch. How lousy they've been. Five in a row a couple weeks ago. I know.
I guess that's the only thing that's keeping them afloat. That was it. But the Phillies were terrible at this time of the year last year. The Mets could be this year's version of the Phillies. Now, one thing I have to say about the Mets, with the exception of their pitching, okay, but their everyday bats, they've been healthy. They've had guys and really, they haven't had like injuries to their bats. So that I'd be a little bit worried about that. Is that, when is that going to happen? Although we know Alonso always plays, but when are the Met fans going to turn a little bit on Lindor? Like they gave this guy a huge contract and he has underperformed that contract. I know he had a good year last year, but technically he has underperformed to that contract, Sal. New York, that was a no-no many years ago in New York. Now you don't really hear too much about
His 10 years only started last year, right? I mean, he played a year before the contract even began.
Okay.
He's a weird case. I know he's, I guess now he's not, he was fourth in the league in RBIs as a problem. What does he have? 39. So he was right there. Well, now this is 2 weeks. I don't know. I know. I don't love it because he'll, some games they win, he'll like spark the club and get the walk-off hit. But, overall it hasn't been great. What was I going to say? Not as bad as the A's though. Now they broke that terrible run. I think they had lost 11 in a row, Bri. They won 7-2 yesterday. It's not as much fun. But before yesterday, 10-45, worst start in 120 years, a minus 199 run differential. Jeez. Biggest stadium, 56,000 it holds, but least fans, 8,000. Just move them to Vegas this weekend, right? What are we waiting for?
I know.
Get them out of there.
It's a shame what they did just in general to this team, right? Because this team used to be what the Rays were, right? Moneyball, for sure. It's a shame. And look, Sal, we've been to that stadium. It's the biggest dump. It's the biggest dump in the world, right? I mean, in terms of stadium wise. So yeah, get those guys out of there. I mean, it really is like watching the movie Major Leagues, right? In terms of like the premise of this movie is the Oakland A's right now. So except this Oakland A's team is not going to win more than 40 games. So
well, I got the Braves today -260. I have the Braves to win the first three innings is on Caesars. You get a plus number for that. I got the Braves with some tennis. Well, yeah. I think winners. I think I actually won a couple of tennis games.
I took them with the Dodgers today. Yeah, took them with the Dodgers.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's take another break and we'll talk some quick football and then Succession. All right. Again, I don't know. Did we discuss this the other day? Jimmy G, is he ever going to play for the Raiders? Now they have in his contract. They could just cut him if his foot doesn't heal properly.
Right.
Right. Is this a good move? Are they going to do this?
I don't think so. I mean, like they're going to hold that hope. I mean, it at least gives them a little bit of wiggle room in case something happens with the foot. I mean, it doesn't, it is terrible. We talked about this again last week, but I mean, the fact that Hoyer right now is your backup, like Jimmy G hurt is still a better option than anything else we have. So
could they get? What are they going to do? You got Aiden O'Connell, right? That's the Purdue guy.
I mean, that would be your hope, right? Like as a Raider fan, look, if Jimmy G goes down, like, and you're like, you know what? We are tanking the season for Caleb Williams. We're going to play Aiden O'Connell. And look, maybe Aiden O'Connell is good.
Maybe Chase Garbers is good. Chase, the rookie
maybe
out of
Chase
Cal.
Garbers is good.
He's could but be like, the right.
But look, if you're at that point where Garoppolo is not on this team, you have to look. I don't know contract wise what would have to be done, but you would have to look to see if you could trade Adams then, because it's just not fair. Wouldn't be fair to him if you're starting a brand new prize. Same, you know, unfortunately,
Adams and Jacobs.
For Crosby, it's the worst for, because it's like he is your future, he is your franchise, but like, so you can't tank with guys like that. But Adams, you know, I don't know. It's not a great situation. The Brady news is overshadowing it a little bit just because he gives this team a little bit more credence here.
Babyface, you hearing something that we're not about this Raiders situation?
I mean, just the Titans, a lot of people are saying could be watching this if Jimmy G is indeed out and unable to play, that they could offer Ryan Tannehill in a trade, which I'm sure gets tremendously excited.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
I don't see the Raiders.
That's fantastic. You might as well tank. You might as well tank that. I know they won't, because McDaniels
They're stuck because they have a few blue chippers on both sides of the ball, right? So you can't do that.
And McDaniels isn't going to, you know, they had a bad year last year. He's coming off, you know, he's been a bad head coach so far in his career. So he can't have another year of it for a tank job, or else he's probably gone too. So they're not in a great situation.
Parlay kid DeAndre Hopkins cut by the Cardinals. There's like fake odds on where he's going to go. Fictional odds. The Bills are favored at 2-1. The Chiefs at 3-1. Our Cowboys 5-1. Patriots 7-1. Spaghetti's Giants are 10-1. I'm at that point where I don't want them, right? I don't know. You and I get like this. We've benefited off the free agents in the past, from the Charles Haley's to the Deion Sanders. The list goes on and on. But I kind of want to do it with this team that we have. But I don't want them going to the Bills or Chiefs, right? That's not fun.
No, I have a team I think I could see him going to. I agree with you with the saying the Cowboys. I don't like that anyway, because too many cooks in the kitchen. Then, you know, you got to spread the ball between Lamb, Cooks, and then Hopkins. I don't think you can keep all those three guys happy. So I wouldn't love that anyway. I don't think it would be good for the chemistry. I don't think you need three guys who consider themselves to be like number one type of receivers on a team. I don't think that works out in the NFL. I think the Chargers are a really good fit for Hopkins and Herbert. I like the Chargers.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what the fake odds are for the Chargers, if there even are odds, But we've seen Keenan Allen now has really struggled maybe to stay healthy over the last few years. He always seems to be banged up. He's logged a lot of miles. Maybe Hopkins has too. Mike Williams, as we know, is always banged up, missing games as well. Hopkins might be a really good fit for Herbert there.
Yeah,
with the Chargers. So that's where I could see him going.
I was saying earlier, let him go to the Patriots. Let these fans think they have a chance. That nothing's funnier. We saw that when Boston fans think they have a chance, and then the rug gets pulled out from under them. All right, that's it. Succession, real quick. Can we do this? Is everybody caught up? Babyface, you're caught up, right?
I'm caught up.
Everybody is. Yep. I give it a C+. It was fine. And I said this earlier, like I just never bought into the Tom Schiff thing. And if you don't buy into that, like a lot of these things are just not going to land. And especially when they're holding hands at the end in the limo and everybody on Twitter was melting over that. I was like, this is a farcical couple. They never liked each other. Why am I getting excited about this? And I also thought her, you know, whatever. She had a big moment of revelation. It was weird a few minutes before the credits. And coincidentally, what was about an 8% chance she would be the deciding vote, Bri, based on where they sat at the table? And oh, lo and behold, it was hers.
Yeah, why was she last? Why was she last?
I don't know. That's how those things work.
That's a good question.
Damashek says, no, she knew before she ran off. She knew she was going to double cross. I was like, I don't know.
No.
Her face freaked out. She saw his feet on the table and she didn't like, right? Like,
I honestly feel if you were going by how that episode went, right, you would say, yeah, I don't know which way she was going to go, right, until Kendall went into that room and sealed his fate, right?
Like, yeah, you brought that up. That was a good point. Right? Maybe she was going to vote for him anyway.
She's just like, I need to think. And then as they were talking that through, she's like, yes, this reiterates how much of...
Oh, yeah, you killed somebody. Right? You killed somebody. I just realized that came out of nowhere.
Like that.
That wasn't even her top thing. She was like, you're ruthless, you're this, you're that. And it was like, it didn't come into... Yeah, it was 3 minutes into the... that back room discussion where that came up. I don't know. Yeah. What did you think, Parley Kid?
I was satisfied. I think the season overall was probably closer to a C+.
Yeah.
That episode, I would have given a B+, A-. I definitely felt it was more than a satisfactory ending. I think because it did leave you with a lot of feelings. I thought left you with some emotion. Like, you know, for as bad as of a guy Kendall probably really is, like I felt bad for him. I felt for the guy at the end of that.
So weird. These guys, they walk away with $1 billion each. It's not like
I agree with that. That's what I've said from the start. So, you know, I've always said, man, I would have sold years ago. I wouldn't have cared. Who wants to be involved in this mess? But we know it's an ego thing.
What was ego thing? His father, he didn't get along with his father. He was
the power, right?
He would have taken over a company that his father started. So just do your own thing at that point. That's a great point.
I didn't love Tom. I mean, would Tom really have been the guy? Would he have really been the guy there? Like,
she had a chance to screw over the guy who took her off the masthead at CEO the day before. Bri, you bring up a good point. What the hell time is this meeting that they were able to get from London or wherever in England to this meeting?
I know.
And
it's true.
But anyway, screw him over. Screw the husband over who said he really basically told her to F off the day before, too. And then, I don't know. But she goes, I mean, the relationships were all so complicated. So there wasn't going to be anything satisfying. Nothing was really going to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, they did do a cap of consequences the night before.
Is that right?
I do like that they did.
They did.
Meal fit for a king. And I thought
meal fit for a king was great, but it was so painful to get to. It was 40 minutes. The whole thing was so long. It was so freaking long.
What about Peter's cheese? He was the big loser there. They licked his cheese.
Peter's friend. I would have liked to have heard his business thoughts. I would have liked to have heard more on his proposal. Stupid.
Yeah, Peter. When his friend was giving his business thoughts, that's when I started checking my phone for text messages. Yeah. I'm like, how long is this?
I guess the point there was that the mother was as bad as everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Look, the show did a great job of like Everyone really sucks. Felt like you hated everybody, but also were like sympathetic towards everyone. You kind of liked everyone. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, Kendall, right, Roman, Tom.
You got that in girls also. I just thought there should be something more substantial.
Yeah, I personally, if somebody just went in and watched that last episode, they probably would say, yeah, it was very good. There was some moments again when the three of them are fighting at the end. It's great. But yeah, I just didn't believe the Shiv thing after, you know, she storms out when she finds out it's Tom. Now, would you guys have preferred that?
I wasn't going to be happy with anything. So would you have
would you prefer the way it ended? Or she voted and then like you had no idea. So the thing was, you knew Tom was the choice in advance, right? Like they told you that like a third of the way into the episode, kind of like if you didn't know that, would you prefer the way it ended or she voted against and then he backstabbed her after and you find out right at the end, it's Tom. Like Tom knew, but you never find out it's Tom until the end.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that would have been good, but everyone says she did it because Tom was in charge.
Yeah, like there is a thing to that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although, like we said, Tom has been let go last week.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, he's not even there.
Greg's taken him. Yeah, I don't know what I would have been happy with. I'm really not sure.
He's the U.S. CEO. Look, he's not going to be around that long. It's not like he can pass this along to his kid. You know, it's money. It's a lot of extra money for a few extra years for Tom and Shiv.
All right.
And I'm glad it's over. That's it.
Glad it's over. We will be back tomorrow. Harry might be joining us. He would have been great in that conversation.
He's the worst. Parley Kid's so mad at Harry. Jeez.
He is? You are Parley Kid. You don't like this.
No, I think we're seeing where his loyalty lies, though, Sal. I think we're seeing where his loyalty lies.
Is this a
Shiv
move?
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. This is, we can kind of have our own succession here.
Right.
You know, like, you know, if Harry had to choose, like Ken said something and you said something.
That's fine. Oh, I've known this, though, for years.
Who
this
is he choosing? You're definitely saying he's choosing Ken over you.
This is not
every
a surprise.
Well, that's fitting. Listen, because Ken also took him to Candy Kitchen in Bridgehampton when he was there. Yeah.
I'm glad something's fitting. I'm glad something's fitting for Harry.
That's funny.
Wow. Listen, this whole thing, it was like he made my son his best man.
Why don't we do this?
Just make Ken your best. We can't, well, yeah.
Can we just come up with a fake firing?
Do it on the air.
Yeah. Fake fire. Just fake fire.
He should have to work the weeks we're off in late June and July. I think that's all good, though.
The guy's traveling. He's a world traveler, Sal.
I know. He pointed that out to us. It's like, hey.
Yeah, he did say that. He did say that. I'm traveling the world.
Look who's traveling the world, and look who's taking shots at me on Twitter. It's like, you're both doing it for free. I don't know. I hadn't gotten this position by accident.
God bless him. By visiting my floor
in college. But anyway, all right, he'll be back tomorrow. I think the eye's okay. He talked to Jack about that. I overheard that conversation a little. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and 2/3 of the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na,